It's a pleasure to be here tonight. It's always a pleasure to come and tell folk what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, what the Lord Jesus Christ means to me, and the only reason I'm here tonight is because of Him. You know, as I look down on you folk tonight, it brings me great joy to see young people wanting to be here tonight. When I was your age, I was blitzed. When I was your age, I had no want to be under the sound of the gospel. You see, folks, when I was your age, I was controlled by the knack of a bottle. But I stand here tonight only a sinner saved by grace. Don't be looking at Stephen Law and thinking he is something. I'm nothing. I'm only a vile sinner saved by grace. And tonight I want to tell you, Christ is everything. Christ is all in all. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're missing out on the greatest of life. You're not complete, you know. I wouldn't swap seats with you for a second. Because you have no happiness. You have no purpose. You have no true satisfaction in life. Man seeks after satisfaction. It's in the heart of every man to seek after satisfaction. And until you find Christ, you haven't got it. He's lovely. There's none like Him. I want to tell you, He's sweeter than honey. You know, the Song of Solomon tells us in his book that He is my beloved and He is my friend. He is altogether lovely. And I want to tell you tonight unashamedly, I love Him. I love Him. If you have a Bible with you, if you haven't, don't worry about it, just listen. But if you do have a Bible with you, please, would you open it to Proverbs chapter 23. You know, when I was out in the world, I was ashamed to cry. You would never have got Stephen Law crying. The Lord restored me. Well, the tears come sometimes, and I'm not ashamed. But this night, I was sitting up in my study, and I was reading the book of Proverbs. And I came to chapter 23, and I began to read through it. I began to weep. And boy, I cried. I shouted at my wife. I shouted at Jude, come quick. And Jude came running up the stairs and she says, Stephen, what's wrong? I says, Jude, this is talking about me. The Word of God is talking about me and I didn't even know it was in it. Look at it. Couldn't read it to her. Wasn't able to read. Not because I wasn't able to read, for I didn't know how to read. I couldn't read through the tears. Proverbs chapter 23, please. And if you have a Bible, we'll start reading at verse 20. If you don't, just listen, please. Proverbs 23, verse 20 says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. 31. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange woman, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Folks, I want to tell you tonight at the beginning of my testimony, I know what it's like to lie in a bin alley in your own vomit, and waking up the next morning choking for a drink. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to waking up the next morning and go to the cupboard with your mouth dry and go and get a bottle of vodka straight and put it to your head. You see, the world calls that fun. God calls that sin. And my friend in the AA called that addiction. The devil and the sin will take you first. You ever thought it was possible to go. See, that's why I love him tonight. He's beautiful. Let me read you another passage. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Maybe you're here tonight and you are saved. And you know the Lord Jesus just isn't as sweet as he once was. You maybe were saved young in life. And maybe grown cold a wee bit. You know, if the truth were told, we all grow cold. And the Christian that tells you they never grow cold, well, I'm afraid they happen to be telling lies. The Word of God tells us we grow cold. If you're here tonight and you've grown cold, forget about the person beside you. Forget about the person who you look upon as being a superman or a superwoman in Christ. Forget about them. Get your eyes off them. Get your eyes on the beauty and the sinlessness and the perfection of Christ. Listen to what he says to you. I love you. I died for you. I shed my ruby royal red blood for you and rose again. Come home. Come home. Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 7, and we'll begin to read from verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Verse 47, please. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. How lovely. Thy sins are forgiven. We'll just ask God to bless his word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you, the Lord, now to take over. We pray that you'll bless your word. You have said that your word will not return unto you void. But Father, we ask you now to glorify your Son. Pour the ruby blood of Christ upon us tonight. We pray that you'll bind the strong man. Should there be ones in here tonight cold in heart, restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. Should there be young people in here tonight that don't know Christ, be tender. Have compassion. And save them for the exaltation and the preeminence of Christ. Because we ask it in the name of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you tonight, Christian, what's your heart like? Don't answer me. Judge yourself before God. You see, the Word of God tells us, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. And you know, I'm going to tell you what my heart's like. My heart is deceitful. And above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's your heart like? But God knows the heart. And God knows our very thoughts before we think them. You see, I'm asking you that for a reason tonight. And you're going to find out as time goes on. Backslider, I love you. You have no idea how much I love you. If you're here tonight and you're away from the Lord, I was where you are. You know what the Word of God says? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, whenever we're saved, Paul tells us that you're sealed with the Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That's what Paul tells us. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that I'll never ever leave you. Never. You know, you can turn your back on God. I blasphemed his name. Ashamed of that. You can turn your back on him. But he'll never leave you. I want to ask you something. If you're backslidden tonight, do you realize that those times that you turn your back on them and you go to the places that you know Christians shouldn't go to. And I'm not here to judge tonight, for I will judge no man. Do you know you're taking God with you? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever the vile language comes out of the mouth and the filthy conversation comes out of your mouth, do you know the Spirit of God that's within you is grieved. He hears every single word. You know, shortly after I got restored, couldn't sleep at night. As the memories of the past came into my mind and I realized what I had done, couldn't sleep. Then the Lord brought rushingly through my mind that wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son. The blood of Jesus Christ, the darling of his bosom, cleanseth me, cleanseth us from all sin. Backslider, what about it tonight? You may have turned your back on the light of God, but the light is always shining on you. Turn around tonight. And see the glory and the beauty and the perfection of Christ. Come home. Sinner, it's your turn. What about it tonight? How many times has the Lord spoken to you? Many times has He called you by name and you said no. The one that loved you. Do you know He dwelt in the bosom of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the ivory palaces? Did you know that way back in the beginning He said, let there be light, and there was light, but He loved you so much that He humbled Himself. And He came down into this earth, and all the way to Calvary, shed His ruby blood, and died. Rose again, ascended up into heaven, He looks down and He says, come to me. I will give you everlasting life. But tonight, still find you a Christ rejecter. And tonight He still says, I love you. I want to save you. What about it? Before I ever tell you my testimony, do you want to come to Christ tonight? Do you want to be saved? Remember, he that is forgiven much, loveth much. He's lovely tonight. There's none like Him. But you know, if you had come to my father in February 2001, which is not a long time ago, and said to him, Jack, what's the crack? Where do you think Stephen will be in October 2008? This is what he would have told you, with the tears rolling down his face. He would say, Stephen will either be living on a park bench in prison. I asked my father that question 6 months ago. My father and I are like brothers now. He began to weep. That's what he told me. If you had gone to my doctor in February 2001 and said, well, doctor, what's the crack? How's Stephen? Where do you think he'd be in October 2008? He would have pulled out the records and he would have said, well, at the very best, Stephen will be living off an oxygen tank. But in reality, he'd be dead. Why? I was smoking 60 cigarettes a day. I was putting more alcohol into my body than it could take. And every morning I was putting illegal drugs into myself to take away the hangover. If you had come to me in February 2001 and said, Stephen, how's life? What's happening? I'd have been honest with you. And this is what I'd have told you. I'm £22,000 in debt. I've already drunk the price of a house. I can't give up the bottle. And life has no more meaning. I have no way out. What was wrong, folks? I was sunk in ruin, sin, misery. I was bound by Satan's captive chain. I was guided by his artful treachery, and I was hurrying on to a very short life of pain, sin. But I want to tell you tonight, but God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have made us alive together with Christ. Listen, sinner, by grace, you're saved. That's it. not of works, by grace. I was born on the 22nd of March, 1968. That makes me 40 years old this year, past. My mother and father were saved years before I was ever born. Two older brothers, one younger brother, Philip. Brought up in Cambridge Avenue Gospel Hall, the Brethren Assemblies. Don't remember the first time that I heard the story of the gospel. I can say to the apostle, the Timothy, as from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures which were able to make me wise unto salvation. I'm quite sure the first time I heard about Christ was on my mother's knee. I have a lovely mother. I have a wonderful father. And I thank God that He's kept them alive today to see the change in their prodigal. You know, I was sent along to Sunday school. Our home wasn't like homes today. Our home was a case where you put your wee shirt on, your tie was tightened up, your jacket was put on, and you were trailed on out to church whether you wanted to go or not. That was the way it was in our house. Every mission that was on around the country, we were taken and we were told to go, marched up to the front seat, and there you sat and you listened. But you know, I heard the story of the gospel time after time after time. And it ran off and it watered of a duck. I knew that Christ died for the ungodly. I knew it all. But it didn't have any effect on me. Until one night, 7 years old, on the 17th of June, 1975, my mother did this night what she did every night. She put my younger brother Philip and I to bed. And she got down the Word of God and she began to read it. And then she got on her knees and she prayed. And her prayer was the same every night. God save Stephen. God save Philip. You see, my older two brothers, they had trusted Christ by this stage. And my mother and father's prayer and heart's desire was household salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you have a mother or father at home. And they cry themselves to sleep at night. Because they don't want their wee boy or their wee girl to be damned. That was my mother and father's prayer. Save their boy. See, the Spirit of God was working in my young heart that night, and I turned around and said to my mum, I says, Mum, would you tell me how to be saved? I've told you folks, I heard the story of the cross thousands of times, but I just needed to hear it one more time. Listen to what Betty Law told her 7-year-old son on the 17th of June, 1975. She told me how about the beautiful, sinless, spotless Son of God left the splendor of glory. And how He came down into this world and grew up before men, despised and rejected of men He was. How He became the song of the drunkard. How Mary's children didn't want to know Him. And how at the appointed time He was taken by men, His creature man. And how He was made very little and made nothing of in front of Herod and his men of war. Then they took him to the judgment hall and Pilate. And Pilate sentenced him to be whipped. My mother told me that night of how they bound Jesus to a post and how that Roman soldier took a whip. And they whipped him so badly like they left his back like a ploughed field. And how they planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. I want to tell you tonight, young folk, they spat in his face. Spat in his face. I want to ask you tonight, if you had almighty power in your fingertips and someone spat in your face, what would you do? If you had almighty power in your fingertips and someone left your back like a ploughed field, what would you do? If you had almighty power in your fingertips and someone nailed you to a cross, what would you do? Yet he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The sheep before her shears is dumb. And he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he loved me. She told me how they took him and how they nailed him alive to the tree. How on that cross God made to meet upon him all my iniquity. What does it mean, said someone? It means he became my substitute. It means God poured all the wrath upon Christ that was due to me so that I might live. You see, I deserve to be damned. I deserve to be thrown into a lake of fire. But Christ took my punishment. Not only did he die and shed his precious, precious ruby blood, but he rose again. He's alive. You know, 7 years old, I just drunk it in. That if Christ died for sinners, I am a sinner. And if he rose again to give sinners everlasting life, then he did it for me. And that night, 5 to 8, I passed from death unto life. That night I believed that Christ died and rose again for me. And he saved me. That's salvation, friend. You who have turned your back on Christ to this point, trust him. Do what I did that night. You know, I loved my Lord. I went to Collie back to high school. The rest of the boys in the family actually went to the grammar school. I went to the high school. I loved them. Many's a kick and I took at school because I was a Christian. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, I left school and remember standing at the People's Park and Cambridge Avenue Gospel Hall with the folks out of Cambridge Avenue, and this is what I sang: I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and all the waters failed, even as I stooped to drink they fled and mocked me as I wheeled, but folks, I was oblivious to what lay ahead. Because whatever happened to me from I left school when I was 16, 17, until I went into my early 20s, I don't know what happened to me. Because I went from someone who was in love with the Lord to someone who was a proud, arrogant, legalistic, judgmental Christian. When he speaks to Christians tonight, watch yourself. He who thinks he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians that even so God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. What does it mean? It means the only reason that God forgives us is because of Christ. We're only sinners saved by grace. How dare we judge another Christian? Romans chapter 14 tells us that another Christian is God's servant, not ours. And Stephen Law thought he could judge everybody. My doctrine was right. I was right. Everyone else was wrong. And I got hard, folks. And I got legalistic. And I was judgmental. The Word of God tells us that pride cometh before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Young people, keep humble. Keep humble. Keep your eyes firmly fixed in the purity and the sinlessness and the glory of Christ. Don't let pride get in. Because all we have and all we ever hope to be is in Him. I got a phone call August 1991, one Saturday night. It was one of my friends. He says, "Stevie, we're having a house party tonight. You coming down?" I says, "Certainly I'm coming down." I left Ballymena about 7 o'clock. I was down in Ballymoney for about 7:30. I arrived down and the boy said, "Stevie, we're going to the off license. Are you going with us?" I says, "Aye, I certainly will." I jumped into the car and went to the off license with them and I preached to them the whole way there. "You boys shouldn't be drinking. You boys shouldn't be drinking at all. This is the devil's liquor." I went into the off license with them. They bought their beer, their vodka and their cider. And I bought my Coke. We drove back to Ballymoney again and I preached again. But you know, folks, I was proud I didn't drink. Boy, the pride was easy. Went back into the boy's house and the lights started to flash, the music started to blare, and the party started to roll. Can I warn you tonight, with all the love I have in me, and very softly, I'm not here to gull or here tonight, folks. Watch your parties, folks. You know, a lot can happen under Christian parties. I know you're young, and I know you have to enjoy yourself, and I know the Christian life isn't about long faces and black suits. But young people, watch your company. Please. Watch your parties. Keep your eyes on Christ. Live godly. There was a girl at the party that night and she bombarded me all night with a bottle of 1080 cider, 5% alcoholic volume, and telling you that for a reason. I don't blame her. I don't blame the boys. You can take a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. She bombarded me all night until I fell and I took my first drink at 23 years old. The old song's right, one drink is one too many, and 1,000's not enough. Unknown to me, it was spiked with vodka. Before the night finished, I ended up in oblivion. I woke up the next morning to my first introduction to a hangover. I remember sitting out in the summer seat that night, full as a lord, talking to one of my friends who didn't drink, sitting crying to him, what would my mother think of me tonight? And yet the Lord was watching me all the time. That was in August. October, we went to Tenerife for a fortnight. We had vodka for breakfast. We had vodka for lunch. We had vodka for dinner. And we had vodka all night. It was quite moving. You see, folks, I'm an alcoholic. And alcohol's in my genes, and I didn't know it when I took my first drink. For the next 9 years, I can't tell you about it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, Stephen, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. What about your sin tonight, Brent? Does it weigh you down? Do you go to bed at night and you can't sleep because of memories of the past? It's not forgiven because you're still in your sins? Oh, friend, my sin's gone. It's cleansed. I'm pure tonight in Christ. What about you? Do you stand morally just before God tonight because you're pure in Christ? Or do you stand before God tonight shackled? Your sin? If the breath of life went out of your body tonight, you're lost. Lost forever. The breath of life goes out of my body tonight, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm in Christ tonight. Next 9 years, I can't talk about it, hence to say that instead of standing singing the songs of Zion, I ended up standing in pubs and clubs singing the Irish and country rubbish that this world has to offer. I went from being a relatively shy person to being Stevie Law. I was invincible. When I got the brandy and the vodka in, there was no one like me. I turned my back on God. I forgot God. But he never forgot me. You know, I praise God for the prayers of God's people. I praise God for the prayers of a mother and a father. He never gave up. You know, God speaks once. That's amazing. God speaks twice. That's a miracle. And man perceiveth it not. Man never listens. God spoke to me first of all in April 2000 when someone sent me a text message, and this is what it read. Stephen, how are you spiritually? I wrote back, I'm as hard as nails and as cold as ice, and not even God can sort me out. That was from someone who once loved the Lord. God spoke again, this time it was my father. My father is an elder in Cambridge Avenue, and I was ashamed in his company and always juked him, didn't speak to him. And Daddy took me aside this night. He got me red-handed and he said, Stephen, the Lord has spoke to me. It's the parable of the fig tree. You probably know it well, folks. It didn't bring any fruit. And the disciples said, cut it down, Lord, and throw it into the fire. Oh, the Lord's gracious. The Lord said, give it one more year. Be tender with it. Fertilize it. And then if it doesn't bring any more fruit, then cut it down and throw it into the fire. Folks, my father loves me. He looked at me and he said, Stephen, son, he says, you have one more year. Watch yourself. I want to ask you tonight, folks, have you ever tried to stop doing something? Couldn't. I tried to stop drinking. I tried. But I couldn't.
want to tell you tonight, I know what it's like to shake so far hard with the DTs that you can't hold a tray in your hand. The next thing you do is you go and put a bottle to your head. That's sin. Maybe somebody here tonight, you can't wait to get out to go for a pint. I want to tell you tonight, friend. Sin will take you so far until it will damn you. And it's too late.
God spoke again. This time the wine bar down in Larne. And I was sitting talking to an alcoholic, and by this stage I was very hardened in my drinking, and I was sitting singing Irish music in the back of the pub, and all of a sudden my head was mashed by this time. And I just said to him, look, I'm going to Belfast. Well, he says, if you're going, I'm going with you. I went, right, order me a taxi. So we ordered a taxi, and we bailed into the taxi, and I started singing away a lot of old full Irish music. And he stopped me, and he said, Stephen, would you sing me my favourite song? I says, I'll sing it if I know it. He says, will you sing me How Great Thou Art? I told him I didn't know it. One of the girls in the taxi, she says, Stevie, you do know it. She says, sing it. And folks, this is what I say. And when I think that God has Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden, gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And I was drunk. With the tears rolling down my face. And I couldn't stop. What a mess. What a mess. God's gracious. Life wasn't worth living. Stupid thoughts were running through my head every day and night. And I couldn't give up. Summer 2000, life took a turn around as I walked into Part 2 clothes shop in Ballymena. And there she was, standing in all her beauty. She had bright orange spiky hair. And I'll never forget the first day I saw her. Her name was Judith Forsyth. Walked in and fell for love at first sight. I fell in love with Judith the first day I saw her. I walked over to her and started chatting her up, throwing every innuendo I'd ever learnt. And Jude decided to go out with me in October 2000. You know, Jude went out with me because she thought we had a lot in common. We smoked the same brand of cigarettes. She loved her parties. And she went out with me because I was a hardened drinker and known in Ballymena in those circles as being a wild man. The first place I took Jude to was a pub. And then we went to a nightclub in Carrickfergus. And we got so blitzed that we hardly remember coming home. We thought we had a great night. Jude left Part 2 on Christmas, December 2000. And her boss gave her a going away present. It was a Bible. Her boss was a Christian. And you know, Jude got her first Bible 28 years old. Lived in Ballyclare all her life. And thought she could get to heaven by living a good life. And was going out with someone who once walked with Christ. And was nothing but an alcohol. Jude made a pact with God. She didn't know what she was doing. She says, God, if you're there, if you're real, show me yourself in this book. Oh, she didn't know what she was doing. Jude would tell you if she was talking to you. In actual fact, she was giving her testimony this morning in a church. And she was telling the ladies that she would have opened the Word of God and one line would have read three. She would have come home at night blitzed. But you know, she read the Word of God every single night. And she started reading the Bible, and the Bible was telling her that if she wanted to get to heaven, she had to be saved. And the only way to be saved was to trust Christ for so great salvation. Jude came to me in the middle of January and she said, Stephen, would you take me to church? I said, what do you want to go to church for? She says, because I need to be saved. You know, that night, I sat down and I was honest with her. That night I told her, I says, Jude, I was saved at 7. Walked with the Lord until my late teens. Backslid openly at 23 when I took my first drink. and I'm nothing but an alcohol. You know, I told her the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died, where her debt was paid by his precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. She turned around and she said, "Stephen, how can you speak of something with so much passion and live the life you're living?" I was like, an arrow through my heart. If you knew my wife, there's no messing with her. She speaks what she's what's in her mind. Never spoke of Christ again. Until the 19th of February 2001, I went down to say goodbye to her. She was going to London for the next week. I went down to talk to her. I just was honest with her. I said, "Judah, I'm in debt to the eyes. I'm 22 grand in debt. My life's not worth living. You're better off without me." Unknown to me, she was in debt to the eyes. Unknown to me, Judah was seeking for peace for 10 years and tried it in everything but couldn't find it. And God was good. He brought the whole beauty of Christ into the conversation. I told her, I said, "You, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting beside you with his hand out. He's saying, give me your hand. Give me your life. Give me your all. I want to save you." I told her again of the gospel. I left her that night. I wept like a child from Ballyclare to Ballymena, and this was my prayer. "God save Jude. Forget about me, I'm too far gone." And I believed it. I came through the back door that night, the Friday night, never forget it. My mother was standing there and I was crying like a child, and she said, "Stephen, what's wrong, son?" I says, "Mom, you pray for my girlfriend tonight, for I believe she's going to get saved." She says, "Who's your girlfriend?" Such was my life. My family knew nothing of it. What did my mother and father do? Did they say, "Oh, it's only a phase he's going through"? Not at all. They got down on their knees and they prayed for a girl they didn't even know. I just wanted to hear from Jude, and I was waiting on a text message coming through, but I heard nothing. And I prayed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I heard nothing. I thought, "God, why would you answer my prayer?" I turned my back on you. And I stopped praying. Jude came home on the Friday night and I met her on the Saturday in a wee restaurant for a cup of coffee. She never told me anything about Christ. And I looked at her straight in the eye with all the truth I had in my face and total honesty. I said, "Jude, there's only one thing left for me in life, and it's the bottle. And here goes. You see, the doctor had told me, and I was 28, that if I kept on going the way I was doing, I would never see 40. I was 40 last March. Praise his name. I left Jude, and that night I went to Cambridge Avenue Gospel Hall. Why I was there, I don't know. She sent me a text message. "Where are you and what are you doing?" I wrote back, "I'm sitting in church, bored to tears, choking for a drink." She wrote back, "Meet me." I came out of church, went and got Jude. We went to the Ballyboo pub in Ballyclare, and I went up to the bar and got a double vodka and a dash of lime. You see, folks, the first drink was 5% alcoholic volume. Now we're in 40% straight. That's sin. Sin. I bought Jude a bottle of beer, but I wasn't sharp that night. I was knocking them back, but Jude wasn't drinking. I went up at the bar again and got myself another double and brought it down, and we're talking about things, and Jude wasn't drinking. And up at the bar again and came down, and whenever I sat down and the glass was in my hand and I looked at her, the tears were rolling down her face. Sitting in the bar, I said to her, "Jude, what are you crying for?" She says, "Stephen, I got saved 3 hours after you left me last Friday night." The glass was on the way up in the hand and I got it and I banged it in the table. I said, "God, I can't stop that. Can't stop it. With your help, this is my last. Finished." As we both began to weep, the pub. We got up and we walked around to Jude's apartment. I want to tell you, young people. We went into her apartment and I got on my knees and I shook. And I wept in the presence of God as I confessed 9 years of the ugliest form of sin. What did he do? Did he say, "Stephen, you've turned my back on me"? No. Did he say, Stephen, you're too far gone?
No.
Did he say, Stephen, there's too much sin?
No. He said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. That was 7.5 years ago, folks. And by his grace and his grace alone, he has kept me. Alcohol has never touched my lips since. Never once.
He that hath been forgiven little, loveth little. I'm a 500 pence debtor.
He that hath been forgiven much, loveth much.
I used to worry where the next penny was coming from in life. I used to worry about credit card bills coming in. The Lord paid my debt. It's another story in itself. But can I tell you tonight, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and it's lovely. Sinner, if you're not saved tonight, you have no purpose. You have no satisfaction. You have no life. Can I tell you, life is worth living. Just because he